Hey, this is Scott Nolan, and you're listening to 101.5 UMFM. You rock, we roll. It's what you told me, brother. We can do it together. You can't have one without the other.
Hey, everyone, it's me, the Album Authority, and I hate to break it to you guys, but these are not live episodes of Album Authorities. This is previously aired episodes. Like all great movements, I need my time to go back, to refresh, to regroup so that we can build this movement stronger. They asked me which episodes do I want. I said I didn't care because all I make is classics, all I make is hits. So enjoy these previous episodes of Album Authority, and I will come back to you guys in September with more fresh, revolutionary, world-changing radio. Hello and welcome to Album Authority. I am your host, the Album Authority, and this is the 76th episode, by the way. I am your heat in the cold. I am your fire in the cabin. You know, the other day I learned that some Soviet soldiers in the Battle of Stalingrad would drink antifreeze through a gas mask for alcohol. And that's what I am for you guys. I am your antifreeze in a trying time, both for the cold, my words and passion, they warm your souls, but also like your bodies, like you're drinking antifreeze. And much like drinking antifreeze, I wouldn't recommend doing it often. And that's why this show is weekly. And sometimes, like last week, I take a break. You know, it is actually against Canadian health guidelines to do a show every week without breaks. Not for me, but for you guys. It's not that my health is in check here, but too much Album Authority is known to cause many symptoms, such as dulling of the senses, severe euphoria. You think those would go kind of not? You think those wouldn't work well together? But actually, they work perfectly well together because the severe euphoria of an episode of Album Authority actually just leaves your senses completely dulled and shot. It also upsets your bowels, dilates your pupils, and actually increases your perspiration as well. So, if you show any of these two symptoms and regularly consume Album Authority, please contact your doctor immediately and ask your physician if Album Authority is right for you. This week, I am coming back with a real soul warmer, and for me, it's been a really essential album. I got back into Day's album maybe a month ago. I just remembered it existed, and I listened to it, and I loved it, and I realized how good it was. But when I came back to it, I was blown away by just how good it was. It was around the same time my friend got back into it, independently of me, but... But we've been talking to each other about how good it was for weeks now. And today's album is Grand Prix by Scottish power pop band Teenage Fan Club. I think I got back into this album from my episode on Death Cab for Cutie. Their album We Have the Facts and We're Voting Yes. Because I just remembered, and I think I mentioned a little bit, how Ben Gibbard is like a huge Teenage Fan Club fan. And you can kind of tell, especially in the more pop, in the pop DNA in that record, you can kind of feel it. But more in later records of Death Cab, for sure. And this album is, if not anything, perfect pop music. The term power pop has always kind of seemed a bit weird to me. It's very kind of, but it is a very immediately understandable genre. Like, I hear it, and I'm like, okay, that is power pop. That is what that is. It's rock with an incredibly pop tone and DNA. Like, it's super catchy, it's lighter, it's more melodic. It's power pop. And Teenage Fan Club's Grand Prix is a cornerstone of the genre, especially like the more alternative rock form of it in the 80s and 90s. And basically all of those bands kind of trace their influence to Big Star. And that's a band I have not listened to in a while. But Big Star, a band in the 70s, basically pioneered the sound of a lighter, poppy rock without sacrificing on their rock bass. And all those bands followed. Like REM, The Replacements, Teenage Fan Club, they all cited Big Star as like a huge influence. They were way ahead of their time. It's kind of crazy. Grand Prix is an incredible power pop record, though. It's so catchy. It's kind of insane how good this album is, but it has a real tinge of weight to it. This album in their discography feels especially jangly. Like compared to their 91 album, Bandwagon-esque, it's cleaner, it's clearer, it's sharper. The earlier stuff feels like it's just more drenched in reverb. It just feels like this. It's this dirtier, more like kind of not grunge. It's not the right word, but almost shoegazy feeling. I don't know. Like, that's not a great term, but it's so drenched in stuff, and it's less pop. Meanwhile, Grand Prix feels in its heart of hearts like a Beatles album, or like the idea of a Beatles album. Like it's insane how good and simple this album is. And the Beatles album isn't just for comparison and for recognizability. This album sounds like the Beatles at their best. And it's not like, I guess I've been listening to the Beatles in the last like 2 days, and it's not that one-to-one, but it's got a kind of reflective character to it. The songs have incredible harmonies. The melodies are so good. You know it sounds like the Beatles when it got the Liam Gallagher seal of approval. In an interview, Norman Blake said, that's of the band, obviously, said in an interview in 2011 that Liam Gallagher said that they were the second best band in the world, second to Oasis, obviously. And Norman Blake told it like this. We were in the same studio. They were downstairs mixing Be Here Now. Liam invited us down for a drink and a playback. He got us all a drink, played the full album full blast, and was doing air guitar to Noel's guitar parts. That's when he said, Teenage Fan Club, second best band in the world to Oasis. So if 100% coked up Liam Gallagher said that Teenage Fan Club is the second best band in the world, I believe it. And especially when it's Liam Gallagher who loves the Beatles, and I just made that Beatles comparison. I felt like an absolute genius when I thought of this. And you know that Liam Gallagher was the most coked up story. First of all, they're mixing Be Here Now, which, if you know anything about Be Here Now, gives it away immediately. He's doing air guitar to know. I want to be in the room. I want to be a fly in the wall where the guys from Teenage Fan Club are being given drinks by Liam Gallagher, and as he's doing air guitar to Noel's parts. So I think that gets the seal of approval. If Liam Gallagher says it, I believe it. And here to kind of speak for itself is Teenage Fan Club's Grand Prix, starting with the first track on the album, About You. And this was released in 95, by the way. So this, I guess this would be, this would, I guess he would have said this after, Liam Gallagher probably would have said this after Grand Prix, because would it Be Here Now come in 97? Let me, all caps, I'm typing this in. 97, yeah. So it would have been like 96, that's my guess. So after Grand Prix, they were also both on Creation Records, so it's not too surprising that they were in the same place. They're totally bands that you do not imagine being in the same room whatsoever. But anyways, here is Grand Prix by Teenage Fan Club, starting with About You.
Take my time and I gives me pain. When I think of you, the things together that we'll never do. At first it's cold, and then it's hot. Try to be someone that I know I'm not. I'm in trouble, I know it. I'm feeling I can't show it, but these feelings don't go away. I remember you, lines on your face, sharing a moment in the perfect place. Deep in your eyes, inside your head, I try to reach you when I'm in my bed. Trouble, I know it. I'm feeling, can't show it. These feelings don't go away. Feelings don't go away.
there's no future. Exalted and ecstatic.
That was About You, Sparky's Dream, Mellow Doubt. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, yeah, Mellow Doubt, Verisimilitude, Tears, and Say No off of Teenage Fan Club's 1995 album, Grand Prix. And I think from the spread of songs there, you can just see how cohesive this album is. First of all, that was also, like, I think that might be the longest time I've ever played music just straight. Normally I do way more talking. The talking amount is still the same for this episode, but it's all kind of backloaded. But yeah, this album has a big spread, but somehow stays incredibly cohesive at the same time. And I can only, I think only from two of those, I only took two songs off of that run there in between each other. And just from those, you can kind of see just how cohesive the album is. And I've said it really time and time again, but that is the best thing that an album can be. When, besides sounding good, obviously, but this album goes from so many different tones and sounds while sticking in its kind of set area and having the same underlying feeling all at the same time. So it's really able to knit together some songs like Sparky's Dream and Tears into this really cohesive project while having completely different tones and sounds. But it kind of sticks all in its lane. And it's really interesting how it does that. And it does it in a really interesting way. Like, the flow of the album isn't very, it's kind of just constantly up and down, kind of like the whole album is like a set of waves. And obviously this album is not the only album to do this, but when pulled off, this style is, I think, harder to pull off, but when an album does pull us off, it is incredible. And that's the pacing of an up and down kind of wave, as opposed to the more set, more energetic first half, and then the quieter, or like the quieter or slower second half. So that type is completely different. So you get a situation like this where you start faster with About You, Sparky's Dream, and then you go into a slower Tears and Say No, and then it's going to go up again, and then it goes down. I really love when an album does that. The albums that I really think can do that, the one off the top of my head always is Currents by Tame Impala. That album is so good for pacing. Like, it does that wave style perfectly. And I find that with a pop album like this, I think this is better. This style is better for it. I think it makes for a easier album, more tightly knit and more cohesive. And I just think that the for a pop album like this, the format of that, of a highly knit cohesive sound, just fits better for a lighter pop album, and it makes it so the slower songs don't really break up the light tone and the kind of easy going carefree of the album. And kind of to contrast that, I think of two albums when I think of quintessential, like, A side and B side differences. I think of Disintegration by The Cure. That album has a crazy different A side and B side, and I love the B side. I think I prefer the B side on that album. For an album like that, you know, the heavier, moodier feeling works a lot better, and that structure fits better than an album like this, where it would kind of, for a pop album like this, it might kind of bore people, or it might just kind of completely wreck what this album is remembered like in your head. The other album I remember is always Before and After Science by, oh my gosh, I'm completely remembering his name right now, Brian Eno, there you go. And what I really love about this album is its tone. It keeps this palette of bright but kind of moody melodies, and it keeps all these different feelings at once, just somehow all together in one hand, and it makes for this really great album, a really good pop album. It starts with this upbeat, triumphant, then it goes down to the melodies that you can kind of just nod and sing along to. And the melodies in this album are insane. Like, you go to, like, it's crazy. You go to slower, Mellow Doubt with the whistling, the da, 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 da. Between Mellow Doubt and Verisimilitude, the two songs I played, the slower ones, kind of not slow, but a step down a bit, is kind of the more energetic Neil Young, which is spelled like Carl Jung. See, already in its first half, the album has gone in some different tones. It's already gone up and down in varying degrees. And then it goes way down with the amazing Tears and Say No. Tears is, I think, by far the slowest, most torpid song on the album, but it is incredible. Like, the brass section and the piano on it is amazing. And Say No, while really similar, kind of really blends that sound perfectly. You kind of, it steps it up a bit, but not too high, and then you go up again. And I love the pacing on this album, and it really makes for this album being super listenable. I can play it in any context, and it'll work. It'll, no matter what I'm doing, it will improve my day in some way. And it really feels like the Beatles in that way. It's just simple, incredible, and really universal, not only in scope of who can like it, but where you can play it, when you can play it. Like, this is an album I can't really imagine someone disliking. It's just kind of universally great. Like, if you told me you didn't like this album, I would just kind of be confused. It's like telling me that you disliked Abbey Road. I'd be like, what are you talking about? How do you dislike that? And, you know, there's albums that if you told me you didn't like, I kind of get, that I can understand not liking. And I get if you don't love this album, but disliking it is just crazy. And that's before I've even played my favorite song off the album. And here is that favorite song with the kind of ballad-like Going Places off of Teenage Fan Club's 1995 album Grand Prix. I know it's pronounced pre, but what if I just said pricks? Grand pricks. How many people in a day-to-day life, like when talking and reading about Formula One, read it or say it in their head as Grand Pricks? I feel like that happens more than you'd think. Now I really, this is, it's like when you meet somebody that says Quesadilla. I will never forget when I had a coworker who, with a straight face, told me and another coworker, actually my boss, that he had a Quesadilla for dinner. He had Quesadillas. And the other guy, my boss, didn't even blink. I'm blown. I think about it a lot. That was like 4 years. Oh man, maybe that was 4 years ago that I heard. Yeah, I think that was 4 years ago that I was told that. And I still think about it, because who in their right mind is calling it a quesadilla? It's like calling it a taco. Yeah, I'm going to have some tacos. It's like, I guess if you're from Minnesota, maybe, but whatever. Anyways, here's Going Places off of Teenage Fan Club's 1995 album, Grand Prix. We'll be right back.
got a feeling, I know what I mean. Feel like this even is almost obscene. Always believing, I always believe. I gotta yours.
that was Going Places, I'll Make It Clear, Gotta Know, and Hardcore / Ballad, the last four songs off of Teenage Fan Club's 1995 album Grand Prix. Okay. Of course, I think of the whole album, Grand Prix is definitely my favorite, I would say, of all of the songs. It just has this incredible building nature to it. It just kind of slowly feels like it's going up and up and up, and then it explodes into the ending. It's so good. I love. I'm a sucker for a song like that. But at the same time, it does something which is kind of unique to songs like that, where it doesn't feel. It's such a soft, beautiful song that while it's building and building, at the same time, it doesn't feel very dramatic and it doesn't feel intense in a way. It just feels very laid back and relaxed while being emotional and building, which I don't know if I've heard a song like that that really feels like that. It's such an incredible song, and it really encapsulates to me what's so great about this album. Just that the flow of it that I love, and the way it's balancing all of these different feelings and tones to it all at once. It's an incredible. Yeah, I'll Make It Clear feels kind of like a return to form for the album, back to most of the album's sound from the kind of lower ballad of Going Places up to kind of a song like About You. There's not much to say about I'll Make It Clear. That I haven't said about others. It's super catchy. I love the bridge on the bridge on it is really good. Actually, I will say that about it. I love the bridge on this song. I Gotta Know is a really good, almost like penultimate song. It has this a similar kind of building feeling to it, but it's more final, less pensive, and more cathartic in a way. But it never really fully finishes, weirdly enough, which kind of moves it and leaves it to the actual last song, which is Hardcore / Ballad, which is a nice little acoustic send-off. I really like it. It's a good song. It does wrap up the album pretty well. I am a sucker for a penultimate and then a little Diddy track. Ooh, bro, you a Diddy blood. Well, what I love so much about this album is just, it's just a simple, like I've said, simple listenable it is. In any context, it's super dramatic, or it's, you can enjoy it. It's not super dramatic. It's not mind-blowing. It's not experimental. It's just good, solid pop rock. And it fits really every occasion. And it's an album that I feel like I'm starting to enjoy and appreciate more. And a sound that's is developing more of a role in my life. You know, music like it that's just simply good, doesn't do anything too dramatic or emotional. I feel like in the last year or so, I've kind of settled into this mellow, not very eventful routine in life. And that's not me saying I'm old and boring, because actually, it was my birthday yesterday, so I'm ancient. Now I'm 22. But just that I've kind of started being like an actual real adult, so I have a pretty uneventful 24 hours now. And a lot of that is emotionally dull. Not much happens. I am studying, I'm working, I'm going to and from the university and my job. Like, that is pretty much it. And so I'm really enjoying music that is less emotional, and it's just more solid and mellow. And it makes for music that fits every occasion and can kind of just slightly heighten the mundane. Like, instead of making my boring walk in the, like, minus 30 degree weather, I get to work into some, like, dramatic event, which it isn't. And if I was playing a super dramatic album, it would just kind of feel a little bit off and not fitting. Instead, I can play something like Grand Prix and just kind of make my walk just feel a little bit more interesting, a little bit more emotionally impactful in some way, but not too much where it feels ridiculous. And just kind of, you know, has this heightened feeling to it. And I heard this album for the first time, I think it must have been just about 3 years ago. I remember Now, I was going to say I think I was sitting in St. Paul's here at the U of M, but no, that was for Bandwagon-esque. I think Grand Prix was in my basement at my dad's house, and I was doing chores on a Sunday. I think I was cleaning the carpet or vacuuming, something like that. And I liked the album when I first heard it, and I knew it was good, but it didn't really stick with me. You know, that happens all the time. I hear an album, it's good, but it doesn't do anything for me. And I feel like all the reasons I love it right now are why I didn't really love it then. Because it wasn't as dramatic as the Smiths. It wasn't as new as anything else I was listening to. It was just kind of simple Beatles-like rock. It didn't really blow my mind at all. And it's an album that is just quality music. So I feel like it didn't fit my more dramatic years when I was living at home and everything. So, and years that I was also more discovering music more than I am now. I mean, I am discovering music, but I've heard a lot of it now. So something dramatic is kind of less sticking with me as it would if I was 17 or 18, maybe. I also got to say, I do love the cover on the album. It just feels very fitting. It's iconic. I would say it's simple, it's sleek, and I think the angle kind of gives it an interesting kind of look. It kind of embodies the feeling of the album. You know, my friend who got me back into this album, shout out James, also pointed that out to me the other day, how the single arts, the art on the singles feels really similar to the cover and kind of the style of the album. You know, the covers of those singles being, you know, various members of the band, which seemingly with racing attire on, like jackets and such, and the letters are in the same font. It's simple, it's nothing particularly crazy or interesting, it's just nice little single arts. And I do really like when an album art and singles kind of feel like this really cohesive set feeling. It's one of my favorite things about the Stone Roses, for example. They have the super signature album cover and art for their music videos and their concerts and everything, but their singles too are like super similar to the actual album cover of their self-titled album in '89. And I love that. I love when things do that. I think placing this album with its kind of contemporary British music is a little hard. I think I've heard this album being lumped into Britpop somehow, and it is technically Britpop. It is British pop, and it was released in 1995, but that doesn't make it Britpop. It does have a sort of British heritage with other pop bands like the Beatles and XTC, but it's a different sound than something like Oasis that has its own lineage, and has its own lineage that's not even exclusively British either. You know, there's Big Star, can't take that away, and Big Star is an American band. That is a fully hearted American band. It's kind of hard to explain, but just the vibes are a little different. It's like, it's not Oasis, it's not Blur, it's not even Suede. Like, it's just doing something completely different in style, and I think Britpop kind of gets thrown around in a way that it shouldn't. And I can't speak of what it was like in the 90s, but I could easily see this album kind of going under the radar a little bit because of that. Yeah, that's kind of all. I will see you guys again next week with an album. I don't really know what it's going to be right now. I'm not sure yet. But here is today's Canadian Song of the Week. In honor of their similarities, this is kind of the Canadian teenage fan club. This is Sloan's I Can Feel It off of their 1994 album Twice Removed.
beats inside me rush. I'm drowning under the rush. Happy birthday to the best brother in the world. Hooray. At least I'm still cool to one girl. But you got a thing for me. I can feel it. I can feel it. And I've got a thing for you too. You can have it. You can have it. You got a thing for me. I can feel it. I can feel it. And I've got a thing for you too. You can have it. Strings attached, no copy to match, no drift to catch, no plans to hatch, no itch to scratch, just infatuation is all you need.
Sookrum's Brewing Company and UMFM 101.5 present Sunday Sessional, a monthly pairing of UMFM program hosts and musical guests in the intimate environs of Sookrum's Tap Room. Spend a Sunday afternoon enjoying song selections from one of your favorite radio hosts and stripped-down performances from some of the city's best artists while enjoying a tasty beverage or two. This free event happens monthly at Sookrum's Tap Room, located at 479B Warsaw Avenue, but like a rotating tap, each one is unique with a new host and slate of performers. For more information on Sunday Sessional dates and details, visit the event calendar at umfm.com and come join us at Sookrum's.
UMFM runs on people power. Over 100 volunteers show up every week to build shows from scratch.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
We are live, UMFM 101.5.
Choosing the music, shaping the conversations, creating something you won't hear anywhere else. No scripts, no corporate voice, just real people making real radio. And there's always room for more voices. So if you've ever thought about being on the air or being part of something creative, this is your invitation. Real radio needs real people. Visit umfm.com and join our radio family today.
In your direction.
This is CJUM FM 101.5, providing diversity at the University of Manitoba.